Good morning, good morning. David had just been stitches, you know, when he said, well, it's a holiday, don't touch other people's people. Don't touch other people's people. All right. That's a warning. That's a message from David, not from me. Don't touch other people's people. All right. That's classic. Okay, David, that's actually classic. All right. So good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, Namibia. Good morning, my dear listeners. Welcome to Eagle FM. And thank you for joining us this Wednesday morning, the 17th of December. So only a few days. Not a few days, actually. We still have a week and a half or so before we say goodbye to 2025. What would look what? What would be 2026 would be? Yeah. So good morning and welcome. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is your daily dose of what's really going on in business, in economic, and in politics, and everything in between. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, you know, the trends and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear. Here we keep it clear. And we ask questions. Always ask questions. Always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying. What are the people are saying out there? So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and or what papers are saying and spark meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So welcome. Our time is 5 minutes past the hour of 8. We're coming to you direct. We're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio, and I will be with you until 10 o'clock. So stay tuned as we're looking at today's our first segment, which is actually on this day in Africa. What happened today? We remember several significant moments in African history that happened on December the 17th. And in 1996, well, Kofi Annan became United Secretary General. So on December the 17th in 1996, Ghanaian diplomat Kofi Annan was appointed as the 7th Secretary General of the United Nations, replacing Boutros Ghali. Annan, who had a long career with the UN, played a significant role in various global peace efforts, including the humanitarian crisis in Africa. So, and on this day, the warring parties in the Democratic Republic of Congo signed a peace accord in the Second Congo War. The accord aimed to establish a transitional government and laid the groundwork for future elections. So this was a pivotal moment in the ending of one of the deadliest conflict in African history. So then we go to Tunis, to Tunisia. You remember Mohamed Bouazizi, you know, Mohamed Bouazizi, self-immolation. The Mohamed Bouazizi, a Tunisian street vendor, is a Tunisian street vendor, set himself on fire. He set himself on fire on December 17, 2010. In protest against police corruption and ill treatment. So his act actually sparked widespread protest that contributed to the Tunisian revolution. and the broader Arab Spring, and impacting numerous African nations and also the Middle East nation as well. So, and in South Africa, actually in Namibia, so the League of Nations officially granted South Africa a mandate to administer Southwest Africa, now the land of the brave, Namibia, following Germany's defeat in World War One. So, and lastly, in Democratic Republic of Congo, a Yubi massacre that took place in 2018. So that was in the Republic of Congo. That was a wave of ethnic violence around the Yubi, resulted in nearly 900 deaths between the 16th and 17th of December. So, well, that's a quick look at December the 17th in African history on this day in Africa. So, welcome and good morning to you. It's a great pleasure to have you here and to have you join us wherever you find yourself, whether you're on holiday or you're still working. But remember what David said, if you're on holiday, especially when you're on holiday, okay, don't touch other people's people. All right? That's not my word. That's not my word. That's David's one. So that's David said, don't touch other people's people. All right? So, yeah. Okay, today is Wednesday, December the 17th. Our thought for the day is, an empty stomach is not a good political advisor. An empty stomach is not a good political advisor. Do you remember who said that? This is Albert, you know, Einstein, who said an empty stomach is not a good political advisor. So what the quote really highlights is that when people are starving or in extreme need, when people are really in extreme need, their primary concern becomes immediate survival rather than, you know, complex ideological principle or the future of the nations. You know, it's like when people are hungry and you come to preach them about God and things, their immediate, you know, need or survival, they become more, this is, their concern is, it's their immediate survival rather than actually, as I said, complex ideological principle or even thinking about the future of the nation. So in other words, if individuals are preoccupied with their own survival or financial security, for example, think also for those who are vying for position. So if they are preoccupied with their own survival or financial security, they may be more susceptible to populist or opportunistic political messages that actually promise relief. And that's why you have some people who said they went, when you see those political rally full of people, some people said, we just went there for, because there were food, you know. So so the quote highlight the idea that people who are not secure in their basic needs might not have the luxury of focusing on the long-term or systematic or systemic or philosophical issues. So, and may be more inclined to make decision out of a desperation or immediate self-interest. So Einstein used this observation to point out that world peace and stability are impossible as long as large portion of the population remain in extreme poverty. So social unrest and conflict are the natural byproduct of a population whose basic needs are not met. So hopefully we understand that as a nation, or you understand as an elected leader, so that if, you know, the need of the population is not met, so the byproduct, the natural byproduct, is social unrest and conflict. So that's our thought for the day today. And if you are one of those newly appointed, you know, councillors, well, think about that. Think about that. Good morning to you and welcome to Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So today, what are we going to look at? What are we going to talk about? On Monday, there was a story. I think the villager was our last villager for the year, I think. It was the last edition for the year. There was a story about Southern local authorities owe NAMPOWER almost $1 billion. I want us to look at that. So I want us to look at that. And also, in one of the daily newspapers, talking about the sluggish lawmaking leaves 8 bills in limbo since 2020. So we're going to look at how that actually impacts your life. How does that would impact you and development in the country? So, and there's also a story about, you know, a report on global, on international, on a global watch list. That's 2026, the global watch list, 2026. And it's put on, it actually, the report, it says 6 of the world top 10 crisis affected countries are in Africa. And we're going to look at how does that affect, you know, us, Namibia, and the continent in general. So those are stories that we're following and that we'd like to unpack. Please make sure that you unpack that with me when we're coming from this commercial break.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
That's for sure. The U in UNAM is you. Yep. Good morning and welcome and thanks for joining us. It's actually Wednesday, the 17th of December. So we're getting there. We're getting there. Hold on. Keep on holding on. Keep on holding on. We're getting there. Yeah. So, and if you are traveling, make sure that you actually, you know, drive safely. You follow all the traffic rules. You follow all the road rules. Make sure that the people with you are safe. And let's keep. It is actually. It depends on us. Most of the time, many death and injuries and car accidents happen around these times. You know, let's make sure that we not. I am not the cause of someone's death. All right. If you're driving, tell yourself that I shouldn't be the cause of death to someone because of the way I'm driving. All right. So. Some are breadwinners. Nobody's actually deserved to die anyway, even if you're not a breadwinner. Even if you're not a breadwinner. So, but make sure that you are not the cause of death to someone. So, and enjoy where you're going. Enjoy your holiday. So rest. So I hear Uncle Bona actually talk about, you know, is this a holiday? You want to make that a little something, you know, a bit more controversial in terms of, yeah. Well, you may not be rest, but it's many. You're actually resting from your formal work. Let's say, for example, you're a teacher. You know, comes, you are given a holiday. Yeah, but, well, if you have other work that to do at your house and all things like that, that's up to you. So, but you're still on holiday. You might not be resting, but you are on a formal holiday from your job. All right? So, wherever you find yourself, but you need to rest as well, because we need your, you are in a good shape when you come back. We don't want to have someone who is so exhausted and you may not, and even what you do may contribute really, as we're saying, to the well-being of the family, of the people in your area, and to the country's development. So, all right. So, as I said, enjoy your holiday. Those who are on your holiday, make sure that you don't get yourself, in troubles. And have a limit to what you do. Have a limit to what you do and to what you take. Okay? Well, have a limit to what you do and to what you take. And I'm emphasizing also David's message. Please don't touch other people's people. All right. Okay. So good morning, Namibia, and welcome back to Unpacking the Day right here on Eagle FM. I'm Michael Chiavelli. And as always, we are here to take, we are here to take headlines you have heard about, strip them down and make sense of what is really going on and what is matters and how it affects you and your community. That's basically what we do. Today we're talking about power, and not the political power. We're not talking about the political kind. So I mean the actual electricity, the stuff that keeps your fridge running, your phone charged. That's what we're talking about. Your lights on when the sun set. That's what we are talking about. And here's the headline. If you have missed it, it's a headline that one of the headlines in Monday's edition of the Villager. So Southern local authorities owe NAMPOWER almost $1 billion. Ooh, where hell I am. So you heard that right. Okay? You heard that right. $1 billion. Now that I'm reading it. Do you know? Seriously. Okay, now seriously. I have to apologize. I'm a little below the weather. My voice might be a little bit deeper than usual. Seriously, think of this. I'm just coming to my mind now. You know that nearly the cost of a building an entire new station. You know that? A $1 billion, that is a cost of building. You can build entire no power station with that money. And this is debt, and this debt is choking our ability as a country to invest in a new energy infrastructure. We can't do that because of this debt, isn't it? Seriously, $1 billion, you can build an entire new power station. I want you now to think about that. I want now, before we even get into the stories, what is this all about? If you haven't read it already. So, yeah, and it's all in other papers as well. So think about that. What I want you to think is this. It's understanding that, you as a citizen as well, understanding that if we don't pay our dues, we're not only doing injustice. We're not only doing, how would I put it this in English? It's not just that this is about, maybe the town council, the municipality or something like, or NAMPOWER. It's not just about that. It means that, as I said, when you're looking at this, so that $1 billion, it's a cost of a building. It's a cost of a building, an entire new power station. And you just realize that how much somebody, some people who are not paying, denying us that investment in a new energy infrastructure, or maybe in a reduce of power. You denying us that because you haven't paid. Well, we can look at that in terms of the energy and the power, the electricity is very expensive and all that. But still, that's an issue. And I want you to look at that from the very beginning already, that amount of money could actually build an entire new power station. But you actually have denied us that. Okay, let's get to the story. All right, let's just get into it, right? Right now, as we speak, NAMPower, the state-owned power utility, is facing an overwhelming debt that totals about 912 million. That's why we said about almost $1 billion, Namibian dollar. So the debt is totaling 912 million. And this is not just a figure. So when you look at that, this is not just a figure you on a balance sheet. And sometimes we don't really pay attention to these details, you know. So it's not just something on a balance sheet of NAMPower, you know. It's a real money. This is a real money, as I said earlier on. So this is a real money that we could have actually reinvested or invested in new energy infrastructure. But we don't have it. It's a real money that could have been reinvested into the country's electricity infrastructure. So that's money that could have gone towards improving your power generations, bringing down the cost, as I said, you know, making sure we don't face those regular power outage we experience all the time. Instead, now it's stuck in a financial limbo. It's stuck in the financial limbo. Now, in the southern part of Namibia, in Desede, you know, towns like, we talk about towns like Rehoboth, Mariental, Kidmanshop, Ludris, Aranos, Carisbrooke, you know, Maltahoe, Hibion, Bethany, and plus the Karas Regional Council. So these authorities have been receiving electricity from NAMPower, but not paying their bill in full. So that amount of money and the outstanding amount, about 912 million. And this is not just about like a 1 month backlog or something. This, we're talking about years of accumulated debt. So years of accumulated debt. Most of that, nearly 600 million is overdue and has been what is called breached. You know, which means that agreement to pay off the debt haven't been honored. You know, it haven't been honored. And that is a serious, you know, backlog, you know. So 912 million. And those are the towns that I have just mentioned. Rehoboth, Mariental, Arnold, South, the town of the South. You guys are denying us an opportunity to actually invest that amount of money into infrastructure that could actually, you know, change many things. Okay? That could improve many things. Now, let me give you a scale. Let me give you a sense of a scale, all right, of the problem here. Marienta alone owes about 233 million. Marienta, that small town, owes 233 million. Gobabis owes 70 million. Carisbrooke owes 59 million. Even small councils like Maltahoe and Hibion and Bethany, they carry debts between 21 million and 24 million, you know, and 34 million. Those small councils, that's a massive money for a small council. And that's a serious backlog. How do they now? Even the new council that's going to take over. You're actually coming in a council that's already owe money, that are in debt. And maybe I should actually, this is something that we need to do. Maybe ask. I'm asking my management, get me a number of one of the new councillors, you know, in the south, either in Marienta or Carisbrooke. One of those, and ask them about what are the plan actually to get rid of this debt? Yeah, that's a very good one. That's a very good one. Maybe we can talk about. All right. So that's the situation. That's the scale of debt that's actually carried by many of these towns in the south. So now you might think you're on holiday and you think, okay, so they owe money. So why don't let their power cut off. How, what does this to do with me? You know, I'm sitting right here in Ondangwa or in Ventuk or in Oshakati or whatever. So why? If they owe, let them cut off. How does that actually affect me? Well, here is how, and here is why. Now, electricity is not free. I think electricity is not free to produce. Okay? It's actually not free to produce. So NAMPOWER has to maintain, you know, power stations, have to import electricity from neighboring countries when our production falls short. And we also have to, NAMPOWER have also to invest in new project like solar farms, wind farms, and expand transmission lines. So, as I said, electricity is not free to produce. And if NAMPOWER, we're going to come back after this.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
So welcome back. Good morning. And if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM. I'm Marco Chiavelli. So we talk about the debt the southern town are actually owing NAMPOWER. And what we're looking at, as I said, that amount of money could actually build a new power station. $1 billion could actually build a new power station. So now we're breaking down what this means actually, you know. And I was asking, now you're thinking, okay, how does that actually affect me? I was saying electricity is not free to produce. So somehow, if NAMPOWER, it doesn't get paid, you know, if it doesn't get paid, they can't invest. Now we're talking about that investment is not just in that town. It could be investment that would actually help production, you know, for maybe new production, production or electricity generation somewhere. So if NAMPOWER, it doesn't get paid, they can't invest. And if they can't invest, we stay dependent, especially on expensive import that come from South Africa and Zambia. So we stay dependent, and that's money flowing out of Namibia. That money is now flowing out of Namibia. And that money could have been actually used in Namibia to create jobs. You see how that's affecting you. That's why you're sitting at home, because that money has now gone somewhere, you know, has actually flown out, has gone out of imports, has flown out of Namibia, because we cannot, as I said, we cannot invest. We stay dependent on the expensive imports that come from South Africa, the electric power that come from South Africa and Zambia. So that's how sometimes that would affect you, whether you're sitting in Windhoek or in Otapi or in Katima or wherever you may find yourself. So, let me give you this one, okay? This would help. Okay? Think of it like this. Okay? Now I'm asked, actually, how does this actually affect you? So as I said, you could be sitting at home and say, well, just cut their power off, you know. Yes, you can do that, but they still have bigger implications, you know. And I want you to think of it like this. Imagine you run a small shop, okay? You run a small shop. You sell bread on credit to half the neighborhood. But most of them don't pay you back. Eh? They don't pay you back. And soon, you can't afford to buy more stock, you know. You can't now be able to afford more stock because they don't pay you back. And your shelf go empty. They go empty, and those who do pay suffer because your shop can't keep running. That's exactly what's happening here. This is what's happening here. So on a national scale, there are those who are paying. You probably pay your electricity bills. But sometimes you have your, you know, you have this, you know, outage. Not because you haven't paid, just because someone hasn't paid. So it's like you're having now your empty shelf. Your shelves are gone empty because, you know, some other people haven't paid. That's a good one. All right. So now this problem and this problem is not it's not something that's appeared overnight. From the stories, that is not something that appeared overnight. In the past, the South. The South has its own. They also have its own regional electricity. What is that? Distributor, like the Reds. You know, they also had that. It was called Selco. And these Reds are, you know, the Reds are meant to centralize the buying and selling of electricity. So, and would make actually billing more efficient, and ensure payments are collected properly. So, but Selco shut down before 2020. Why? Well, the decided, and I said, on svelni di red. So, on Selftun, we will do it ourselves, okay? Yeah, the reason why it was, you know, some of the reasons were that there were dispute over tariff, operational issues, and disagreement between the local authorities and the distributors. As I said, on Selftun, eh, we don't need you. Okay, we don't need the Reds here. But what is worth noting is that while the southern towns are in this kind of crisis, the other regions in Namibia are doing relatively better. Why? Because they have the Reds. According now to the electricity board, control board, in the stories as well, they said regions like Zambezi, Omsati, Angwena have operational regional electricity distributors, so or what is called RED, which manage electricity more efficiently. So, and guess what? Those regions are not in arrears. They are not in arrears. So, yep, the South have to rethink about their decisions, that we can manage ourselves. So they have to rethink that. So there's a noticeable difference between the South and the rest of the country. So the ECB even pointed out that having a functional RED, you know, when you have a functional RED system, the RED system in the South could be actually a game changer for improving payment collection, tariffs, and overall power management. So, as I said, they got to rethink about that. So, without a functioning RED, you know, each town now in the South, without a functioning RED, each town council has been left to manage electricity sale on its own, and they haven't done a good job. They haven't done a good job at all. So now, let's dig a little bit deeper, okay? So why this local authority may be failing to pay. Okay? Why are they failing to pay? Wat is die rede? Eh? So I'm speaking Afrikaans because they are, it's the South that I'm talking to. Wat is die rede? Is that the right? Yeah, wat is die rede? What is the reasons? Yeah? So, there are mix of reasons. So there are mix of reasons. Because when you don't have the rents, you haven't an organized system to collect revenue. So there's one of the reasons is poor revenue collections. So in many towns, residents and business also, they owe money to the municipality. So if people don't pay their electricity bills, the council can't pay the manpower. So then the council cannot pay manpower. So you, people, resident of this town, you're actually denying us a new power station because of your debt. We are denying us a new power station because you're not paying your bills. You're not paying your electricity bills. And in some cases, now the council can't pay manpower as well. There is also an issue. There is also something, a tariff politics, okay? A tariff politics, something that is that also very, you know, where now, okay? So where, like, you know, councils sometimes set electricity prices below the cost they pay to NAMPA, and that is actually, you're operating on a loss. So this is as a way to gain sometimes. That's a way to gain favors, according to so gain favors with votes, you know, with voters. Now, that is like buying bread for, let's say, for example, buying bread for $12 and you're selling it for $8. You are losing, my friend. You are losing money with every sale. Eh? You're losing money. Jy verloor geld met elke verkoop. Eh? So, you're losing money. You're losing money. So that's that tariff politics sometimes put them in trouble. It put them in trouble because where are you going to get the money? And where are you going to get money now? Where are you going to get the deficit? Yeah? Where are you going to get the deficit? So that's one of the reasons as well. The other one is just economic hardship. You know, we can understand in some of these towns there are no development really going on. Higher unemployment and low incomes mean many households are struggling to pay. So that's also a reality in some of these small towns and villages. And councils hesitate to cut people off. Sometimes people then start with they hesitate actually to cut people off because of the social fallout. You know, so economic hardship could be also some of the reasons. Management and governance, that's a big one. Eh? In some cases, and in many cases actually, not just in some cases, it's simply poor financial management. You just have people that are incompetent, absolutely incompetent, that's something that we talk about most of the time, a lack of enforcement. And of course, corruption. So when you look at what the auditors report, financial report, my good Lord, you know, it's financial management, lack of financial management, simply poor financial management. There's no doubt about it. And that's something that we really, and either, I think sometimes when we point for person for elections in our party, we're just looking at how popular that person in terms of the party, but we don't look at their ability, you know, we don't really look at their ability in terms of do they have management skills. You know, do they know how to work with people? Do they know how to work with money? Do they know, you know? So some of those things we don't look at. And then we found that these people are not capable. Yes, they are capable of shouting. Anybody can do it. You can be, as a coordinator in the regions, you can be able to run around, you know, convincing people to join your political party. It's easy to do that. Anybody can do that. But now running a council, you know, running a town, management of a town is a totally whole ballgame. And that's something, these are something that we need to look at seriously, because it becomes a problem to service delivery. It's become a, you know, when you have incompetent people, when you have people who simply have no financial management skills, that becomes a problem. Okay? So other things, as we said, lack of enforcement of laws and regulations of what having people actually to pay, and also a lot of corruptions. So, and here's now the controversial bit, okay? This is now the controversial. And if it were you, think of this now, if it were you, should NAMPOWER cut off, should that be a really maybe a standard or a principle that we, it doesn't matter now, it's about the South, anywhere else, should NAMPOWER cut off electricity to town that don't pay? The other thing is also, now you think of, oh, would that punish ordinary people for the failure of their councils? So because that would like also then you punish ordinary people, some people that are paying for the failure of their councils. But it's a question to think about it. Should NAMPOWER cut off electricity to towns that don't pay? So that would actually push their town, you know, to their council actually to come up with something. And this is a dilemma. It's honestly a dilemma. If you are in Mariento, for example, if you might feel, well, why should I sit in the dark because my municipality can't manage its finance? Which is a fair question. Why would I sit in the dark? Because my council doesn't want have poor financial management. But from NAMPOWER point of view, from the NAMPOWER side, how can we keep supplying electricity without payment? Eh? So you can also understand from NAMPOWER point of view. Eh? And then we then have to think, well, when NAMPOWER now asking, you know, increase the tariff, when they ask more money from the government, then we can complain and say, well, you know, this is not well managed, but because, you know, these are some of the issues. Now, if you look at different, maybe each one, we all look at different possible perspective. If we look at NAMPOWER view, NAMPOWER's view is that they need the money. They need the money to keep the lights on nationally, to keep the lights on nationally, on the countrywide. Not only for the South. They need money for national, you know, project. And invest in some cheap generation, you know, so that we can be able to generate more electricity cheaper. And they are not, and also we have to think they are not a charity. NAMPOWER is not a charity. They are in a utility. So from their point of view, they need the money to keep our lights on nationally. And it's a huge task. From local authorities' view, they are under pressure. Sometimes they are under pressure from their resident who can't afford higher tariff. You also have people now who can't afford there. And this is something that we shouldn't just wrestle around this. We should be able to do something. All right? So they are under pressure from the resident who can't afford a higher tariff. And they also face political pushback. You know, if they enforce a strict payment rules, you know, because these are the people, you know, you depend on these people. If you push too hard, they won't vote you the next, you know. So from their point of view, sometimes this happen, okay. And from our resident view, is that many feel electricity is basic needs. We feel that it's a basic need and should be made affordable. But we also want a reliable supply. We sometimes, even in places like here, you know, a little wind, just a little wind, you know, the electricity is poof, it's gone. Yeah? We want a reliable supply as well. So, yeah. And what are the possible solutions? All right, let's get to what are the possible solutions? They're actually simple. I mean, we were talking about that already. For the South, bring back, you know, bring back the Southern Red. Selco, can you bring back Selco to ensure that would ensure now proper billing and collections like other towns. But there was also other town that actually used Red Force, which actually Minister Sankwasa said that that's got to stop. So how do we then, and I remember actually asking somebody that how do you then expect, you know, the council actually to ensure proper billing and collections. So, yeah, sometimes you have actually people, you have staff within who need to do that. They're just failing to do their job. So what are the solutions? One of them, bring back the and that's what ECB also said. You know, that would make a difference. That would be a game changer for the South. But the other thing, as I said, this is a simple solution. Enforce payment discipline. Other towns are doing it. If you consume electricity, you pay for it. You pay for it. Yeah, we're talking about how expensive this is, something that we can now, you can now fight with your town council, with your government and all that. But if you consume electricity, you pay for it. Yeah, we're talking about expensive, then adjust tariff so council don't sell at loss. You know, maybe then we need to adjust tariff. You know, we don't need to increase tariff. Maybe we need to adjust them to decrease tariff. So because some of these councils actually sell at a loss. And maybe also looking at providing targeted subsidies for the poorest household. If we have some poorest household, something they can be innovative. Come on, guys. Yeah? Maybe you provide targeted subsidies for the poorest household. No, you can't just expect that everybody now should be just, you know, otherwise you will isolate you will just save the rich. Right? You will just save, you know, few, because not everybody be able to afford that. It's like this. This is like this now. The problem is that we have done a rural electrifications, you may have actually rural electrifications, but then there's no light on because people can't afford electricity. You see? So who are you, you know, putting up this electricity for? It should be affordable. You know, that's the thing. And improve transparency. That's also, people need to know, the resident can exactly where their payment go. Eh? We cannot just now see we owe this much. Where does our money goes? Eh? Where does our money goes? So that transparency is very needed. All right? So, yeah. And this is not just about the South. By the way, this is not just about that. If non-power finance weaken, if their finance weakens, the whole country feel it. We're going to feel it. The whole country is going to feel it. We're already feeling it. Blackouts become more regular or become more likely. And prices goes up. As we can see, tariffs goes up all the time. And investment in a new project slowed down. So, and the most important is this. Energy is the backbone of economic growth. This is the backbone of economic growth. No power means no factories, no cold storage. We talked yesterday about cold storage for farmers. So, no cold storage for farmers, no internet for schools, no functioning hospital, definitely without power. So this is the backbone of economic growth, and we need to do something. And those councillors, when your councillor is coming, engage them, talk to them. In terms of this, we need to find a solution. Otherwise, we don't. We think of the green scheme. I don't know whether David talked about, Tom mentioned something on that. You know, the green scheme, they're struggling. Why? They're struggling to produce to the level they should, you know, to what we expect them to. Why? One of the biggest hurdles, one of the biggest challenges is the cost of producing, it's the cost of production, and that's electricity. In 1 month, a million for in one of the green schemes, million bill of electricity in 1 month. That's massive. So you understand, it's a serious challenge to our development. It's a serious challenge to our economic growth. So, and this is the backbone of our economic growth. And there's something that we need to do. Okay? And one of the things that you got to do is pay your bills. For you as be responsible, pay your bills. Okay? That's one of the. All right. So what do you think? What is your take? Okay? So you can come through. Our telephone number is 0833-66091, 0833-66091. So yeah, where are you? What is your take? Maybe you are from the south. Where are you, the southerner? Okay? So why aren't you paying your electricities? So you put us in these positions. So that amount of debt could actually build a new power station. So definitely could build a new power station. And why aren't you paying your debt? So make sure that you and the new councillors, you know, if you're listening, how are you going? You're welcome, come through, tell us. How are you going to make sure that you pay this debt that you find in your coffer, you know? So yeah, that's a challenge. 0833-66091. Come through. What is your reaction? And this is not just about the South, but we're looking in terms, as I was just saying now, that this is a backbone of our economic growth. And if NAMPOWER find themselves in a situation like that, we will keep, you know, importing electricity. And importing electricity, it's actually flowing, you know, at millions of dollars outside the country, which could have been actually created jobs here. All right? So those are issues, and those are real issues. So that's a massive money, seriously. And sometimes we don't pay attention to that. We raise it here. So that's why we are the watchdog. We kind of like we're telling you, this is something you need to pay attention to, you know. So that's why we are unpacking it. Good morning and welcome. So what is your take? 0833-66091. Our time is about 57 minutes past the hour of 8. Good morning and welcome.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika seitha nina omayaguro nilanditomwa yoe yongeshifa yoe okupikira mo Eagle FM Media House ngwe tuende timemeha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu Moambo, dengera selma, konara heta tuimu. Datunda tu, heari hamano tano, on the edge. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
So very good morning, and very good morning. Yeah, so even if you are on holidays, we don't go on holidays. We are here to keep you informed and make sure that you also follow us on all our social medias. and all our social media. All right, in all our social medias, we are on LinkedIn, we are on, you know, Facebook, we are on Instagram, we are on WhatsApp channels, you know, we have WhatsApp channels. So we are all on those social media. Make sure that you follow us. And also, when you are there, leave a like or a comment. You know, we also want to hear from you. And we have to interact. We want to interact with you. So, make sure that you follow us, especially during the holidays where we, you know, you may, you know, where you get yourself updated with what is going on, you know, and, you know, make sure that you download your, there are two downloads that I want you to do. One is the Eagle FM mobile app. So this is just to keep yourself connected to Eagle FM, to connect it to everything, to your shows, to your, you know, to so many things that you, when you open up that, when you have that app, there's so many, many things that you, many features on that app. Make sure that you download it as well, so that you're not left in the dark. You get yourself informed of what is going on, and you find everything in one place. It's kind of like one-stop shop, as they said. You know, you'll find everything in one place. That's all what you need. Nothing else. All right? And then the IMPA. You're getting on holidays, you know, where we go. There are weddings, there are services, there are, you know, festive services and all that. So make sure that you have your IMPA, IMPA product as well, IMPA app as well. As I said, this is something that you will really, really thank me. Because when you go to this event, especially services and funerals and whatever, you have your hymnal, all the hymnal, you have them in one place as well. One-stop shop, you know, one-stop shop. So make sure that you download those products. They are worth having, and I can tell you, one day you're going to thank me. Not one day. Once you do that, call me, tell me, yeah, you're right, Mike. All right, so what is the take? What is our takeaway on just the stories that we looked at? So $1 billion in unpaid electricity bill is not just a line. As I said earlier on, it's not just a line in a report. And most of the time, we just look at that. When you pick up a story, paper, or just read online, you just read, $1 billion. That's in itself. For me, when I look at that, I'm looking at that, and I'm said, first of all, it's a warning. That's just a warning sign. We need to talk about accountability. Eh? We need to talk about accountability. Can we just, if we can talk about, you know, private institution, let's say if it was a private institution with in debt of that amount. Eh? So what would we say? So that, first of all, it's a warning. For me, when I read that, that's a warning sign. That means we need to talk about accountability. From councils, from residents, it's not only from the council, but also from residents. Accountability from residents as well. And from the system that meant to manage our electricity. Eh? So it's a warning sign. And if you don't pay attention to that, imagine that amount of money. It would make a hell of a difference. It would make a hell of a difference. So we are these people, ne, who otolega kuningirwa, where they go? I don't know. And we are so sluggish. We don't, I'm not saying go and complain, but we don't push things to happen. Eh? We don't really push things to happen. I'm not that kind of person, you know. But we need to learn to push. You can't just sit home, we don't have electricity. And what are you doing? First of all, maybe the one who complains is the one who even haven't paid. So whatever, even paid his bills. Okay? So we need to learn to account, you know, to take people to account. That's what I want to say. And this is a warning sign, really. So we need to talk about that accountability. And that's the reason why we're here. That's what we talk about, is the accountability. Should NAMPOWER be stricter? Maybe that's the question. Should they be a little bit stricter? It's reinforcement that we talk about. Should the government step in? How? I don't know. Should residents take more responsibility? I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. That's your town. Does your town council collect payment well? Now, wherever you find yourself, do they collect, you know, payment well? Would you support a Southern Regional, you know, electricity distributor again? If they, you know, do support REDS again, the REDS who comes again for the South. Selco, it used to be called, maybe something, they have to call it something red now. So would you support that again? You know, to help, you know, the collections of you know, of revenue. Yeah. So let's hear from you. What I want to hear from you. 08333-66-091. 08333-66-091. So, yep. 08333-66-091. That's the number you can dial if you wanna, you know, have your reaction to the story, participate, contribute. Or maybe you're from that side of the world and you have been experiencing, you know, what we're talking about. And, you know, talk to us. Let us know what is happening. 08333-66-091.
Omutiha wutikirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao otaingongoti samwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia. Ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitomwa yoe, yongeshefa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shipareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konarahe katuimu. Datunda tu heari hamano tano oni aji. Eagle FM, go aji.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
No. Wherever you are, the eagle will follow you. We will definitely follow you. But what you need to do, download the Eagle FM app, and we will be wherever you are. So good morning. Our time is about 6 minutes past the hour of nine, and we still have enough time to, you know, to engage you in other stories as well. One of the stories that very interesting, maybe worth of you looking at it and maybe giving you a different perspective to that, or raising that that awareness with you, is the story about the sluggish lawmaking leaves eight bills in a limbo since 2020. Now the headline is that eight crucial bills in Namibia have been sitting in the limbo for years, you know, some since 2020, and it's dragging down our progress as a country. So imagine. So if you have to think in this way, so if there's a bill that was introduced in 2020 and we are in 25 and that bill haven't become law, don't you think there may be something that you're missing, or something that, because that bill is supposed to enact something, it's supposed to effect something, all right? Could be a service delivery, could be some kind of a governance, you know, which then, because it hasn't passed, you denied that. Now, and we're talking about law that could shape how we And now when we're looking at the bills that are not passed, so we're talking about laws that could actually shape how we pay taxes, laws that could actually shape how we pay taxes, or how domestic violence is handled in our courts. We talk about how mental health care is delivered and how lent, and this is a very important one, for many years this one. It is not just even starting only in 2020, you know, how lent is managed and how state-owned enterprises, I'm talking about all the bills that, some important bills, you know, and how state-owned enterprises are kept accountable. So these are laws that we're talking about. So, and if they are not passed, you know, that means there's a gap. But right now, these laws or these bills are gathering dust in a parliament, in a parliamentary folders, you know. They're all in the parliamentary folders, gathering dust somewhere. So now, first of all, we need to understand how the law is passed in Namibia. I think that give us a little bit of, let's get a bit of understanding. So because sometimes we're just thinking, okay, it's not just passing a bill into law in Namibia is not just about debate in parliament, okay? It's not just the debate that you see in parliament. That's not all. So it's a process, all right? And it, depending where is it in the process, where is the bottleneck in the process? So first of all, you have to have a draft of the bill, you know, drafting of the bill. And sometimes that's where, you know, you need technical people for drafting that bill, you know, to put the concept that are needed to, you know, you really need sometimes expert in terms of language, in terms of making, you know, you have to make a law. So that could be in a drafting stage, you know, and then there comes a tabling. You're tabling the bill, and then there's a reading of the bill, you know, then there will be a readings. Could be a second reading, and then you have a committee review. Then you have a committee review, and then after that you have vote. Okay, now to vote it into a law, and then finally you also have then a president who have to have some kind of president assent, you know. So and only after all that can a law take effect. You understand? So that there is a process. So we shouldn't just looking at the parliament and blame everything to the parliament and say, okay, no, there is that process. And sometimes you have to understand where is the bottleneck. Now, but here is now the problem also. Our parliament had slowed down. They have really, really slowed down badly. Now, I'm saying this in comparing to other time, to other years. So in 2025, only two bills, you know, made it all the way into law. Only two bills. So that's the lowest number in years. The very, 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 actually worst, the lowest number in years. Now, compare that to 23, for example, the bills in 2023. So about 23 bills in 2023. Maybe they wanted to have, you know, corresponding number 2023, 23 bills. They could have done that now, 2024, 24 bills, 2025, 25 bills. They could have done it that way. So, two bills, eh? That's the lowest in the history of this country, of the parliament. Eh? So, and some bills have been stuck, at least, you know, at early stages of their stuck at early age stages of for half a decade. You know, some are still in the drafting stage. Yeah? So maybe in the review, committee reviews, some are still stuck in the committee reviews. And there are those who are probably sitting with the president. Well, it's a new president. They still, you know, when you have, if it has been there for 5 years, now the president comes in, a new president, you know, have to take some time to look at that. So, yeah. Now, if you are thinking, maybe you say, well, this could be just minor laws, you know. Maybe they are not bigger, you know. Maybe they are not major laws, you know. And maybe they are not, they are just minor law, nothing urgent about them. Now, think again, think about it. So we're talking about combating of domestic violence amendment bill, for example. We're talking about the land bill. We're talking about the mental health bill. We're talking about the public enterprise governance amendment bill. And all of them central to service delivery. These are very central to service delivery and governance. You know, so these are very, 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 very important bills. And the president, credit to the president, she was at one point, she was actually urging the parliament to actually hurry up some of these bills. Land bills, mental health bills, because public enterprises governance amendment. So because they are very, very, very important to service delivery and governance. So now, let's rewind a little bit. Let's rewind and put a context to this issue, okay? Now, Namibia has vision. We have has Vision 2030, okay? And then we have Vision 2030, we have the National Development Plan, and we have SWAPO Manifesto Implementation Plan. So all of them rely, so now, all of this plan, they rely on strong, updated regulations. Do you understand? So for this to implement, to be able to implement this, they rely on a strong, updated legislation. So now you can't modernize, say for example, you can't modernize land reform without a land bill that reflect today's reality. So you have to have the bill that actually reflect today's reality. And you can't improve mental health service without a mental health act that actually replaces the outdated colonial era provisions. You still have those outdated colonial provisions. So, and you can't have, as I said, you cannot improve that service without the Mental Health Act in place. So, and historically, Namibian Parliament has had uneven productivity. Now, in 2021, we passed about 16 bills. In 2023, we had a record year, but 2024 saw a slowdown a little bit. So, and 2025 has been worse. We have seen that uneven productivity when it's come down to the parliament. So now the point here is it's not about number, okay? So it's about momentum, you understand? It's about momentum. Now, laws are the rules of the game. Laws are the rule of the game. Without them, policy change stay on the paper. Without laws, the policy, whether those policy changes you're making, they're just on the paper. So Vision 2030, National Development Plan, SWAPO Manifesto Implementation Plan, it becomes a brochure. It's just a brochure, not a reality. So that's why you need these laws, you need these rules. And if we look at some quick one, that's maybe just a quick at looks. Where do I have that list? Just to look at some, how important some of this. So we have now the quick list of what some of these that are actually stuck, that are not moving. You have the Income Tax Amendment Bill, that of 2020. What this actually meant to tweak tax rates and close loopholes. So it's still stuck. You have a gaming and entertainment control amendment bill. That is of 2020 as well, which is actually supposed to modernize how casinos and online gaming operate. Yeah? So there might be just, you know, some people that are operating unregulated in somehow. So then you have the communication amendment bill. This has been, you know, in 2020 also, it designed now that one to expand broadband rules and telecom oversight. It's still in the limbo. It's still, you know, stalled. Yeah? So, and then you have criminal procedure amendment bill. That of 2020 as well. This is aimed at speeding up court processes. It's still stuck. You have that stuck as well. Yeah? Combating of domestic violence amendment bill. That's one of 2021, then the version of 2022. So to strengthen protection order. So this is one of that also, you know, talk about, you know, protection order, strengthen the protection order. So it's also stuck. And you have the other magistrate court amendment bill of 2021. This is how to upgrade how the low courts functions. An interesting one, the metrology bill as well. You know, the metrology bill. So this was to ensure measurements and standards critical for trade. So it's those are bill that we still and to add to that, you know, to add to that, there isn't what the mental health bill, the land bill, as I said, the public enterprises governance amendment bill. All delayed through the eight parliaments at last session. So all these are delayed from the previous parliament session. So as you can see, those are very, very, very important bills. Now, so let's look at some of the, let's unpack some of these bills and why, especially the mental health bill, the land bill, the public enterprises. These are very important. Let's income tax. Let's first maybe look at the income tax amendment bill of 2020. Now, this would update how taxes are collected and who owes what, you know. So now without it, we are actually stuck with outdated rules, rules that can't keep pace with the new economic realities. Remember that. So, and that means potential revenue losses because of the inactivity, because that's not enacted, and less money for public services. So, good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Mike. I'm
good. How is your one?
You are.
That is again.
I see.
Open your mouth and do that.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're from China. Everything is from China, my friend.
Yeah.
That's how you see the Europeans and the Americans, they are struggling now.
Yeah, they're sweating in their boots.
They hold the strong cards of the economies.
They're sweating in their boot, my friend.
Yeah.
Because of China.
Yeah. You know, I won't argue it from, I will argue it, the electricity bill now.
Yeah.
Particularly in those regions.
Mm.
You know, people, they, I will then argue it from a different perspective. If you look at those peoples,
yeah,
these are people that spend less than $100 per day. Some spend even $50 per day. Those that are a little bit fortunate to get the job opportunities, their wage does not even meet the minimum wage set up by the government.
Mm.
And this could be the reason.
What is it? Okay, I'm saying what you're saying. What is in towns like Malta, for example, What is in a town like that? What is in Khibion, you know, to create? Now, what I'm asking is that what would be the, are they, is there close this town, because there's a mining, you know, a mining.
No. Most of those people that work, they work in plantations and farmers.
Oh yeah, farmers. Yeah.
Yeah, that is where they work, and that is one of the problems. Now, in towns like that, that is where you have to actually set up some economical infrastructures.
But who would go to Malta, for example? I'm just thinking logically. Even difficult to you know, to go to Marienthal, for example, you know. But let alone Malta or Khibion.
Marienthal is one of the economical infrastructures, was the farmers meat market. I think they have an abattoir. I don't know whether it's still operating, because it used to supply meat to Europe. Mostly the cap, these are sheep meat.
Yeah.
And I think that is what the governments really have to look at it. When we are saying that some of the economical infrastructures have to be set up, like factories or even there are a lot that the government has to do.
Yeah.
Because you are actually looking at the people working in that. And then a huge deposit of money at the end of the month is actually dumped there. And then people will then find a way of making certain businesses and so on. But for as long as there is nothing, then obviously those people will be just like that. Yeah. We were actually talking about, we don't have a referral of hospitals in this country. Most of people's actually is being transferred from all 14 regions, people with critical diseases, I mean illness, to central hospitals.
But to
central
hospitals. We don't have specialists. The other time we're talking about doctor specialists in the country.
Yeah, if you could say you build a referral hospital that is consists of 250 beds in one of those regions, and then again, you build another one maybe in the north, somewhere there in Oshikoto and so on. Then you can cut costs for the government, also for transport. And then also you have created an impact of economic costs, because those people that works there will definitely have to look at some business aspect. And then those who does business already, their business will increase as per day. And this is what you are looking at. And the other problems, you see, my. Sometimes as I'm listening, you know, I haven't been coming in your programs. I understand, and I'm listening. I just don't want to come in, because it seems as if I am actually forcing people to move from these systems that we are actually in.
No, the idea is that there could be someone. Now, the thing is that you could be someone listening to you and think, okay, that actually the way to go. You know, the lawmakers are listening. You know.
Yeah. And then.
And that's the whole idea. Yeah.
And in one of those towns, most of those people used to work for Transnamib. Transnamib today is completely dead.
Yeah.
You see, I think in Marindal this is train stations. The number of people that used to work there has completely decreased. And you know, this is
do they travel with this with still with they used to travel with train, people going to the south. That was the common one.
Yeah.
But do people still travel with a train?
No.
Yeah.
If you go in Transnamib, my friend, right now, you will be very much afraid. If you go at the receiving places where certain items used to be received from different areas of the countries, there is nothing. It's completely empty.
Yeah,
that is the problem. But what I am saying is that electricity is it's way, way too expensive to be in Namibia.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example. In Windhoek, a $1,000 gives you only 375 units.
Yeah.
You see, that is how expensive it is.
And while on your then, there's something funny I always discovered. You know, when you buy in a bulk, like that much amount, let's say for you buy about 300, you actually then buy about a 300 electricity. It goes fast. I found that when I buy like smaller, it takes longer compared to, you know, when I buy so much. You understand?
In Windhoek, if you buy for 300, it will not last for a week.
Exactly.
Yeah, it will not last for a week.
But if I buy for example, 100, it will take 3 or 4 days. Like, it goes slower than when I buy, like, 300 or 500.
Yeah, but I think...
Or maybe the
electricity utilities in the north is a little bit better. That is what I'm thinking, because... even when I have been in Katima for almost 2 months, and then I bought electricity for 500, and that electricity took almost 2 months. And I was what?
Yeah.
But in towns like this commercial place, you know, this place is of Ushimba is most designated as commercial place.
Yeah,
it is very, very expensive.
Yeah, can you hold on just for few seconds? We have a commercial coming.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai etetaweza kwa ombu nikire ombe ombi hukusha njiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare na masa kumurungu wa indu weriro ngere kusha umune ondengu ukura kwa imba una ovi umedia peke kwa odondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe soo tuika ovinki nukukara norupa mondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva owa peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva owa peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva owa peresente umirongo ivari na dano miede mulongo na ivari moshimarifu itororera ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanu kife ashiesho imba yekupe oshimariva shishihina omarufiro imba o maoronga neno uye kuhaka enina itako na wina rishangita jinun.
Alright, be back.
You know, I'm still strongly support the idea of a nuclear power station. That will be very easy. I mean, very, very usable. Because you will need about 800 to 1,000 permanent worker, and then you need about 200 casuals. And then you can supply electricity to some other country, neighboring countries.
Yeah.
It is not very difficult. It's just that the system that we are in, it does not allow us. But is there no any other thing that we can actually do? Because I understand now when I was reading the international news.
But there are different, okay, there are big nuclear powers and there are, what is it, modular?
They differ.
Nuclear. Yeah.
So the one that I'm talking about will cost you about 5 billion to 6 billion.
Yeah.
To 7 billion there around.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bigger one perhaps maybe can go to 10 to 20. Which the more bigger it is, the more employees it takes.
But the thing is, if we can plan that in 10 years, like, okay, all right, let's suffer for this time, you know, but we're preparing for, you know, for 10 years. Even if it takes us 10 years actually to do that, let's do that because that it has more in the future that would help more the country much bigger than where we found ourselves. Because in the future... electricity is going to be still more expensive than what it is now.
Yeah.
Because the way it is going now, we see that it's going to be more expensive than what it is now. We have to prepare ourselves already for that. Mm.
And the population is growing. And the more the population is growing, the more every aspect of the economy is demanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. The unemployment is going up. Standard living of the people is going up. The demanding of electricity is going up. But if you don't have employees, you're going to have people that need electricity and they would not be in the position to pay.
Now, what do you think? How are the town councils, this town council, Mariental, whatever, Gobab is on this debt that they have, how are they going to pay this really? You know, because this is massive money. How are they going to pay this? And what is NAMPOWER have to do? Are we just have to kind of scrap off this debt, or what is going to happen? Because whoever comes in now, you come in already, you know, your budget, your electricity debt is more than your budget of your town.
You know, there are so many things that one can think of that could actually cause these things. These accumulations of money did not start yesterday or five years ago.
Yeah.
It started a long time ago.
Exactly.
Maybe 20 to 15 years ago. Now, simple because in that particular town, there are no job opportunities.
Mm.
Whoever completes schools happen to be lucky and go to tertiary education and happen to look for job opportunities.
Yeah.
They then realize that these people, they then realize that they could not find jobs in their own city or town.
Yeah.
So then they have to migrate to other towns where they think that they can find a job. Then in a house where he grow up, at the end of the day, are old people that are going to live there.
Yeah.
You understand?
Mm.
Now, these old people cannot afford, because some of them are no longer employed. Mm. They are now retirement. They only get 1,600 a day. But does that mean now you have to deprive them from thing again? This is where we say some infrastructure, some economical facility or infrastructures have to be set up there to provide job opportunity for the young one, so that the young one can take over and pay this usage of the facilities.
Yeah.
You actually look at this thing. But the biggest problem that we are actually having that really constrain us is the system that does not somehow allow us to make use of our own natural resources. Imagine if you can have that we're actually talking about. Because you don't buy it. You just take it from there.
Mm.
And then you generate electricity. And then on top of that, you give it to Botswana. You can even mobilize. I think I don't understand whether our leaders to the summit is where they go. They somehow come up with things like that. Look, guys, we have uraniums in our countries.
Yeah.
And we need money. We need to set up at least 2 nuclear power stations in our country. We will supply you with electricity. You're going to be energy securities. We give us 1 billion. We built it and we gave you in a very cheap award for at least 20 or 50 years.
Mm.
Everybody's going to benefit. If we take Zambia, take Botswana, take all those countries there, and then say, well, this is what we want to do. If we cannot do that, obviously, I don't know.
It's sometimes when we talk about transparency in terms of agreement that we have with these mines, sometimes understanding what is our agreement really, that we cannot be able, you know, to benefit from that, because China, for example, uses that uranium to actually to feed their nuclear plants, you know. So
that is what they do. That is what the whole world does, like French and the British.
Yeah.
I don't know whether the German does have a nuclear power station, because Germany was also under the what Germany was actually given restrictions after the First World War and the Second World War, but whereby they were actually... But I don't know, because Germany depends so much on Russia's energy.
Yeah.
The reason why Germany was industrializing it is because of the energy that subsided energies that they actually get. One can say subsided because it's very, very cheap from Russia. Now they were told to sanction themselves, and then that's why you see most of the factories are closing, and some of the companies want to set up factories in China. So China is capitalizing, China is capitalizing on the system in place, because China is able to defend itself.
Yeah, definitely.
That is the thing. And then again, China is part of BRICS. So that is how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And thanks for coming through,
yeah? Thank you very much.
And for your contribution, yeah.
Sure, great, sure.
0833-66091. If you want to come through and have your contribution as well, talk to us help us to find solutions. It's not just about complaining, but it's also looking at look at this. How do we solve this problem? I'm looking at when you look at that amount, as the caller said, you know, in this, there's a lack of economic activities in these towns, and the economic hardship of the people in these towns, they found it difficult actually being able to afford electricity in their town. So how do we solve that problems? Because this is going to continue. So that's some of the question we can look at. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Mike.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you this morning?
I'm all right.
I'm still re-emphasizing the point that we are not on holiday.
I'm not here?
I say we are not on holiday.
Oh, yeah, no, that's our
informal economic activities.
Yeah, no, that's fine, Uncle Bona. Let's talk. Let's contribute to the topic that we have. Yeah, please. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same topic that I'm talking about.
Mm.
Maybe just from a different perspective. You began with the laws and bills and all these other things.
Yeah.
And this morning also we touch on those ones. It is true that there are acts or regulations.
Yeah.
That you need to address or must address the need and the interest of the peoples are sometimes delayed in parliament. And not only in parliament, you mentioned in the self-accountability aspect that yes, we as citizens, we also need to hold ourselves accountable to some of those pitfall.
Yeah.
Because if we don't do that, and perhaps we do not perform our obligated responsibility, then we are as well failing like those one in parliament.
Yeah.
Because the bills, the formulation of the bills and laws actually begin with us on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's us who should identify our needs and measures as to how to address those challenges pertaining to the laws or whatever aspiration that we want.
Yeah.
So all of us, we need to examine ourselves and agree with the president that, yes, why are the laws and bills being delayed?
Mm.
Is it a deliberate effort? Maybe to deny people from the service that the battery needs? Or is it because of the incompetence? Because I know there are competent leaders in parliament.
Yeah.
Even the old ones who have actually passed the torch to others who are there in, they were able to craft up laws, and even if they leave some which are outdated, like you say, which is true, we still need to revisit them and make sure that we amend or repeal those ones.
Yeah.
So now the ones that are working, the ones that are in existence, say for example, this morning we were talking about the street children, the foreign street children in our streets. But we all know that, yes, there are acts there that talks to that. Maybe children's acts are there, the labor acts are there, which prevent the employment, to prevent or prevent anybody, anyone to employ those children underage. We know very well that. And that one is also in existence. And this is our own law.
Yeah. No, sometimes, I think I agree with you, but sometimes with some of those laws has been written during, some of those have been written, actually during written during apartheid time and hasn't been changed. And that's why sometimes these bills that now, even on hold, that are not passed, bring in some of those changes. And that's where now we said, you know, that need to be, you made to be, as you said, the president said, some, there are some laws that actually need to be, you know, to be hurried up because they impact service delivery, they impact governance, you know. So I think that's very important to note.
Yes, that one is very, it's good to have mentioned those ones, but I'm now talking about the current law. Let's say now the Labor Law Act.
Yeah.
Number 11 of 2007.
Yeah.
Which imposed those penalty to anyone that is employing those children, whether it's the mother or the father or any other person. And I did also make reference to the, say, for example, and the Namibian Constitution in the Child Care and Protection Act of 2015. These are current laws that prevent, that it talks about, I mean, and it is against economic exploitation of those children and even the social situation that where they are now. And they are in the street, not because there are no laws. The people who are employing those ones, not because there are no laws. Even the Tate Sankwasa, thank God, and let me congratulate him for getting that. It's also when you look at the health sector, the Minister of Health, I think they are also in a process prioritizing those activities that cannot be done by the middlemen, isn't it? And how much did they recover by using that measure? It's billions and billions of dollars. You also mentioned about the tax correction.
Yeah.
I remember when that Isisimi, the one who is there now at NAMLA, when that act was promulgated, people were against it and they were even demonstrating in the street there. How many billions and billions of dollars has that entity corrected now? That now goes into the social services, social development and social economic development, helping the people who are vulnerable in terms of HIV and all this other. And the people were demonstrating. Are these not the same people who are actually deliberating, delaying the passing of the bill in the national parliament, in our parliament? So these are issues that we, all of us, we need to tackle and see. Is the rule of law, if for example maybe these streets are from Angola, we are also part of the international law.
Yeah, definitely.
Angola is not an exemption.
Yeah.
And if we are the one who are allowing these children to roam around with all this mental and psychological and risk that is involved in their moving around in the street.
Yeah.
Does that not mean that we do not have or we are not ascribed to universal declaration of the international law?
Definitely.
So it is us who should be able to examine ourselves and see this Red Force or whoever. I just mentioned that example because it crop up in there. If they are doing a good job to correct that, let them be in harmony with the other states. I mean, other stakeholders. If Tate Sankwasa is saying no, we know that most of these entities, they are created under the law. But in the process, the exploitation that comes thereof may not be bearable to the ordinary person. If I can afford, and I'm sure there is no individual or resident who has been staying in any property without dishing out money there to pay whether for the service or electricity or water or whatever. Not even a single person. Unless you come in and say, yes, they are going to subsidize you because you are now old, they are young ones, everybody.
Yeah.
Is getting the equal opportunity. So let's not, because I know there are anti-economic social movement. So those ones who are delaying the bill, let's look at ourselves, because before the bill gets into parliament and go to the National Council for review and examination,
yeah,
it is from us, it emanates from us here. So that's my question, but that's my concern, and I think I've raised my point. Yeah. All what we are saying is that let's join hands when the president is complaining about those things, or maybe raising a concern. It is, the concern is also raised to us. How accountable are we to those processes?
Exactly. All right.
Welcome, sir.
Thanks for coming through.
Thank you. God bless.
0833-66091. Our time is about 10 minutes. To 10, 10 to 10, and it's 50 minutes past the hour of 9. So this is Unpacking the Day, and I'm Michael Chevelli. So, all right, so you are mostly welcome to come through and contribute to what we're talking about and what we have, other issues that we have talked about earlier. So I was diving a little bit deep into some of the stalled, you know, bills, the bills that are stuck, you know, that are on the parliamentary folders, you know. So we talked about the income tax amendment bill. These are some of very important ones. And we talked the combating of domestic violence amendment bills. So the version of 2021, 2022 as well. So Namibia has one of the highest rates. If we think of that, we have one of the highest rates of gender-based violence in the region, in SADC region, and court processes and protection need updating. So if this is told, you know, if is this stuck somewhere in the process, every year this bill stalls, is another year a survivor actually faces gaps in justice. So those are some of the things that we need to think about. As we're talking, these are things that also we're now telling you, lawmakers, that, you know, it's another year. Survivors actually face gap in justice if this is not, you know, if it's not hurried up. We talk of mental health bill, which also the president was actually one of the of those one that she said the parliament was supposed to pass before the closing of the sessions for this year. It's still at the committee stage. This one is still at the committee stage. Without it, hospitals and clinics operate under old framework that don't address modern care. So, and it doesn't address the modern care. It doesn't address the right of the patient in this reality we are in now, or community-based services. So, and these are not abstract. These are not abstract. These are things that affect, you know, families dealing with depression, for example, schizophrenia and traumas. So we need the new updated, you know, framework to be able to to address the modern care and the right of patients. So that's how important these bills are. And we have the land bill, land reform. Well, this is a political and social hot potato. This is one of those political and social hot potato, I would call. And without now updated law, we can't fix inequalities in the land ownership, you know? So no streamlining administration for resettlement and for agricultural productivity. So these are very, very, very important. And we are appealing, like the president, we're joining the president's echo. We echo the president's voice in saying, you know, this need to be done. And on the public enterprises governance amendment bill, the state-owned enterprise run key services. This is about our state state-owned enterprises who are actually running key services in our communities: water, electricity, transport. So this bill is meant now to tighten oversight and improve efficiency, as we have seen, you know, that these have been really a problem. So now delay means continued waste and mismanagement of state funds as well. So thus we need that to you know, the parliament, actually when they start, they need to have priority of these bills, as the president asked them to, you know. Now maybe the question is, now why the slowdown now? Well, Uncle Bona was talking about some want to jeopardize the service delivery with that the reason known to them. There are possible reasons why the parliament drag its feet. So one is the complexity of bills. So some of the bills really need technical and expert in, first of all, from the very beginning, in drafting the bill itself. So you don't just come up with something that, you know, that lack that technicality and the language that is needed, you know. So that some laws are technical and need that careful review, and sometimes that actually take some time. Now I want us to understand in that broader understanding as well, that if it's not the draft, if it's a poor draft also, there could be that the poor draft, the draft that actually tabled, it's such poor quality. It doesn't reflect the issues and that's why, you know, it spent time people arguing in the parliament as well. So it has to be that complexity of the bill sometimes contribute to that. And I think we also need to understand it in that way. So the other one is a political priorities. MP may focus on issues which win votes, and this on both sides. It's not just about, you know, we're not talking about the ruling party. We're also talking about that other MPs would just focus on issues that win votes, not necessarily what urgent for governance, but, you know, issues that actually win votes for them. So, and the other major one is the committee, a bottleneck, you know. Bills can sit in committee for months without movement, and that has been the case in many of the bills. So they sit on, maybe sometimes it's the personnel, a lack of also expertise as we speak in those committee. So that's also issue. Committee, they sit with the bills for month without movement, and that has to change as well. The other issue is also election cycle, the election cycles, where you have, as a parliament approaches the end of the term, you understand, when we come too much the end of the term after 5 years, attention now shifts on campaign rather than actual on lawmaking. That has been the case. That's why there were only two laws that actually, you know, pass through the parliament this time, because towards the end of the term, many of the parties, many of the are more focusing, their focus, their attention actually shift more to a campaign rather than actually lawmaking. That's also one of the contribution factors as well. But there's also a deeper issue, maybe which Uncle Bona talked about, touched on it actually, lack of accountability for legislative delay. There's that lack of accountability for legislative delay. Namibian constituent doesn't set a strict, this is also maybe something that we need to look into. Namibia, it doesn't set a strict deadline for passing law once they are tabled. There's no like, once they are tabled, you know, that's how, so by this time it should be passed or something. That means bill can be pushed from one session to the next indefinitely. Maybe something that one have to look at. And let's also not ignore the presidential ascent stage. So some bill are passed, but not signed into law immediately, making them unforceable. You know, they cannot be forced because the president haven't signed them, but they are not gazetted. So, and that's another bottleneck. And this has impact. It has been impact on you. It has impact on. And does this have any impact? Maybe that's a question I need to ask. Does it have an impact on you? It's not just a political process story. It's about daily life. So now, when we talk about the road builds, without the road builds, roads stay underdeveloped or underfunded for that matter and poorly maintained. So affecting, as we're talking about farmer actually taking their good to market, it would affect those. So, and without the financial assistance fund amendment bill, for example, students face uncertainty about bursaries and loans. You know, it would have impact on you. And without domestic violence laws updated, you know, survivor face gap in support and justice. So, and we're talking about mental health reform. Without the mental health reform, people are denied dignified care or legal protections. So basically, slow lawmaking means slow service delivery. That's what it means. Slow service delivery. And slow service delivery means delayed development. So it means delayed development. So, think about it in terms of if this was a private company, you know, if a private company took 5 years to update its policy, upgrade its policy, it would collapse. It would definitely collapse. But our national lawmaking system is doing just that. You understand? You see that the impact of that. So what is the solution? So some argue that maybe I need a legislative efficiency framework, you know, maybe setting timeline. I talked to a parliamentarian last year, you know, she was in parliament last year, and she said we need to set up timeline for bill to move through stages. So that's legislative efficiency framework. You know, so, and you have those suggest that strengthening parliamentary committee, because the committee, as I said earlier on, need resources. They need more resources. They need more expertise so that bill don't get stuck. Yeah? So those are some of the things. And we could also update our standing rules to prioritize urgent bills, especially those affecting governance and those affecting service delivery, as the president was also, you know, pushing those. So, and perhaps as citizens, we need to demand regular update. We also need to demand from our own MPs on the progress of laws, because transparency sometimes create pressure, you know. But we also have to do something ourselves, you know. This is what, before I just hand over to maybe this is what we can do ourselves. Listeners, you also have power, eh? And let me tell you what you can do, okay? Simple. Now, one of the things is that stay informed. You know, follow the bill register online. Sometimes you can follow the bill. Track the progress of the law that matters to you, you know? Track it. be it mental health, land reform, or student aid. So track where does the track the progress of that law, and then sometimes write to your MP. Write to MP. Reach out to your MP. Ask when the plan. When are they plan to push your priority bill forward? So they work for you. These people work for us. So ask them when they plan to push that priority bill forward. And the other things, I mean, sometimes you just use your social media, just scrolling and scrolling. Use your social media. Share simple infographics. You can share simple infographics or your story about how that stalled law affect you, because there's this law, because of this law is not being, you know, is not, it has stalled, it's not moving, it has affected you. You can also take the parliament, you know, you can take the parliament or relevant ministries as well. You will make a difference. These are some of the things that we pick up as media, and then, you know, so, and engage civil society, engage your civil society, support watchdog groups that monitor lawmaking. We have them. They hold both sides accountable. So you have the Legal Assistance Center, you have Institute for Public Policy Research, the IPPR, you have media, the Namibia Media Trust. You know, you have many, many watchdog groups, Office of the Ombudsman, Anti-Corruption Commission. Those are all watchdog groups. And the most important one, before I finish, is the National Council. Your National Council. The National Council is often called the House of Review. You know why it's called the House of Review? It acts as an internal legislative watchdog. You know? It's an internal legislative watchdog by reviewing all the bill passed by the National Assembly to provide now a system of checks and balances. You know, these are your people, these are your councillors that you have voted. Go to them. So you understand, you have really a role to play. So now Namibia is sluggish, though making is not just a parliamentary matter. It is our national development problem. If these laws are not going through, that means we have a national development problem. So 8 bills have been sitting for years, and many more are caught in the bottleneck. So these delays affect justice, affect healthcare, affect education, infrastructure, and eventually our economic growth. So if we want Vision 2030 and our development plan to succeed, we need a parliament that moves faster, that moves smarter, that with more accountability. So, and as we head into 2026, you know, the question is, will we see a real push to clear that backlog, or will we see bills still be here in 2030? Well, that's all what we have. That's all what I leave it for you. And Namibia, what do you think? You know, should we demand timeless of passing law? Should the president have more power to fast track urgent bills? Or is the law, is the slow pace simply the price of a careful democracy? So we leave it up to them. It's about 6 minutes already past that. And I hope, you know. So that was Unpacking the Day for this morning. I'm Michael Chevalier, and you have been listening to Eagle FM, your station for truth, depth, and real conversation. So join me tomorrow as we dive into another story that shape our nation. Until then, stay informed, stay engaged, and stay hopeful. So join Tate France coming up with Kutha Mosha. And from me, Mike, it's a goodbye until tomorrow.